want to thank the choir of Teng Na BP Church, which have practiced this song to be sung. And there is a little story behind it. I think it is good you know. Those of you who will buy this way back will see part of the story there. The music was dated 17th August 1996. With the music which came to us by post was a letter. 17th August 1996, Saturday. My dearest, dearest mother, it is so good to have such wonderful parents and such a loving mother. I give thanks to God for you and Papa, and your faithful love and deep concern reflects the love and faithfulness of our Lord to such an extent that it dearly and undoubtedly reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, especially verse 4, which says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has quickened us together with Christ Jesus. This is the context of this verse. At least twice a day I make mention of you and Papa in my prayers. I hope that you will be able to come and visit here for maybe a week or so in Greensboro, United States of America. I always remember you and pray in my heart so that tears come to my eyes. This is a truly marvelous heritage from the Lord, to continue knowing Him, growing in that knowledge, pursuing His truth, and sowing His seed. May our God, the only one there is, go on blessing you and sustaining you. Then he says, the ladies in this fundamental Christian church in Greensboro, I have recently been led to say to me that the Lord sent me to them because they had been waiting and praying for over a year for a musician, and you have come to help us play the piano. Would you remember me in the light of Psalm 130? And that is the hymn going to be sung here now. Psalm is 130, and he concludes, I love you very much, Mom Stephen. Now, for those of you who are musically able, this is the music score that came with the hymn. He did not write the words except to write the words of the psalm, and this is addressed to my dearest mother with much love from son Stephen. And on the top here, to God only be the glory, DSG, Deo Soli Gloria, August 17th. And at the bottom are the words, Psalm 130, which form the basis of this hymn. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Amen. Now I invite the choir to come and sing this song. The lyrics are in the sheet that has been given out, so you may follow with the words from the song sheet.
Thank you, choir. Please turn now to the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 22. In telling the story of Stephen, I pray that the Lord will use His Word to guide some parents and to touch some hearts on the way we should bring up our children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, a well-known verse on which we founded our family. It says here, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. When I left for Belfast in 1956, Stephen was about 4 months old in his mother's belly. He was born in December of that year. When I returned in 1959, he was 2 years and 3 months old. The first time he set eyes on me, of course, I was a very strange person. We never got close to each other for various reasons, which I shall reveal as we go on. During the time of my absence, he was very attached to my wife's brother's wife, so whom he called Akim. Alright, you know, that is auntie of a certain rank. Very attached to this lady until she died. So that broke his world. Where is my Gimme? And he would go to the gravesite and ask, when will you come back? Stephen attended Anglo-Chinese school, a well-known school, my school. Finishing school, he did medicine after father. But he always said his first love was music. Third year, he suddenly said, no, I must do music. But to interrupt and do music meant back to national service. All of us in Singapore understand what NS means. There is no exception to the rule. So, back to NS. NS meant the whole household of Andrew Road was mobilized. In order to wait on this important personality who is now in basic military training, every weekend it was a feverish activity for the whole house, because he'll be back from his basic military training, of course, underfed and underslept and full of tensions. And in those days, uniform had to be starched and ironed until it was crisp, and boots had to be polished in such a way that is not done nowadays. Anyhow, you can imagine, the whole house was mobilized to get Stephen fit for Monday to go back to the camp. He weathered that. Finished national service, came back, said, all right, Stephen, now we send you to do music. You know what he said? No, I want to do medicine. Now, bringing up children is not so easy nowadays. Dear friends, how do you cope with that kind of thing? I'll tell you later. That's him, 6 years old, with Christine on his right and Carol on the left, and father and mother looking a lot younger. Here is Stephen in one of his last visits to Singapore. As a person, he is very gentle and very attached to his sisters, three sisters. That's Christine, that's Sharon, and that's Carol. Now, Stephen, you sure you want to do medicine? Yeah, very sure. You cannot go back to NUS, you know. Once you give up, that's it. Well, he is smarter than I. You came from Belfast. Can't I go to Belfast? So, he hit the nail on the head. I call up my friends in Belfast and says, welcome to your son. So, he goes to Belfast to do medicine. What do you think of that? My dear friends, at this moment, I will introduce you to a word. Some of you will know it quite well. It is a condition. That affects certain people. Alright, I got it unraveled now. You know the condition called schizophrenia? How many of you don't know what it means? Alright, I'll illustrate to you. As medical students, we went to Woodbridge Hospital. And our teacher would bring up various patients to demonstrate what you mean by schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is a mental disorder where there is a split or separation between the thought process and emotions. Also, it is a fragmentation of the personality with distortion of thought, inability to distinguish real from unreal. The patient will hear things, see things that are not there. One patient came up and the teacher would say, who are you? I am the Maharaja of Jaipur. Right? What do you make out of it? He is a common laborer, worker in Singapore, but he thinks there is a distortion of thought, inability to distinguish real from unreal, but because of his fragmentation and his distortion of thought, he thinks he is the Maharaja. Then we ask him, would you like to tell us something about the Lord's Prayer? Oh yes, the Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Trespassers will be prosecuted. That is his version of the Lord's Prayer. And many other things. It is not an uncommon condition. Now, what did Stephen have? He did not have this. He was not affected that he thought he was the somebody else. But we did not know this. We only knew it just in the year 2000, shortly before he passed away. He didn't even tell his mother. But one evening, as we were talking about various things, he just quietly said to me, you know, Pa, The doctors in Singapore did not detect it. But the psychologist, the psychiatrist in America found it out. I am schizoaffective. That explains a lot of things. You are not schizophrenic. You're not mad. But there is a disposition or the tendency to schizophrenia. And therefore there is this fragmentation of thought. So he is unable to relate real things to unreal things. Reality escapes him. For example, we equip him with an apartment. He is unable to run that apartment. All he knows is to get in, sleep, find some food, get out, do his stuff, come back. That's it. During his time in the States, what did he do? Well, he was there for 16 years. To him, the place on earth that he would like to live forever is United States of America. Of course, also he knew we could afford to send him there. So he went there. In 1989, he graduated from Washburn University in a place called Topeka with a degree of Bachelor of Music with high distinctions. But it shows, you see, there is a two side to a picture. After that, he came back and we said, "Stephen, wonderful, now you're a Bachelor of Music, come." So he went to Yamaha and became a teacher in Yamaha. Same time, we gave him a piano. Here it is. So this is his gift to the church. This is the first time I've announced it that nobody knows. Stephen's piano is given to the church. So he taught piano, but after a while, his schizoaffective condition catches up. He couldn't cope. He couldn't cope with the reality of earning a living. "What do you want to do?" "I want to go to seminary." "Of course." Delighted. "Stephen, give your life to the Lord." "Of course." So back he goes. Biblical Theological Seminary gave him MA, Master of Arts. We were delighted. However, that is not the solution to all his life because of his schizoaffective condition. So he began to play piano, music, organ for the church that he went to. Until we began the church in Vancouver. Then I said, "Stephen, this is your place." And I'll tell more of the story. In Vancouver, in June 2000, we had a holiday in the Columbia ice fields of the Rocky Mountains. Those of you who have been to the Rocky Mountains. And that was our, one of a few holidays together. We had a group of friends and he came with us to the Columbia ice field. And he got a bottle of mountain water. And I says, "This is longevity drink. See how happy he is. I found longevity drink." Amen. How shall we proceed with this story? Verse 6 of Proverbs 22. How shall we train up a child? Some of you may be wondering, if you could start all over again, how would you train Stephen? What went wrong? Verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." Verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He had his fair share of the rod. Nowadays, you know, in America and Australia and Canada, if parents use the rod, children report to the police and parents go to prison. However, we were not in that era. We used the rod. And I would say Stephen grew up quite well under the rod, although he did, if you read his story here, in our last month of vacation in Vancouver, we would spend every afternoon almost for a walk as often as he could come, and he would tell all his life stories and his concerns, how he grew up as a child. And he said this, you know, when he first came back from Belfast, I was so frightened of you. Whenever I heard your voice, I went to hide. I said, well, Stephen, those things are in the past. You see, the background of this is, I grew up on the cane from my father. And all the eight of us grew up that way. With father, he's militaristic. You either do or you get the punishment. To us, it's nothing. Now, by our time, to our children, they don't get even one-tenth of what we got. Nevertheless, the culture today does not go well with that kind of thing. What shall we do? This is a very practical problem. How shall we bring up the child? Of course, a fair amount, a controlled amount of corporal punishment must be meted at a young age, but lovingly, reasonably, and always with explanation to the child. How shall we bring up a child? This is a point that has occurred to me again and again as I thought of what to tell you all about Stephen. Was he subject to unreasonable physical correction, that he became what he was? That when he was let loose, he really was let loose in America, the land of the free, the place where you can do what you like to do. That's what he did for 16 years. So I say, dear friends, no two families are the same. No two children are the same. I say to all parents here, pray. In our family, every night is family worship without fail, unless I was on duty. Then mother takes over. But I say, dear friends, family worship, reading of the word, we had it every night. Did he remember? Yes, absolutely. I read you his letters. Just one more will do. Excuse me. Letters that reveal his innermost thoughts. This is September 1996. He begins like this. Ping An. Shalom. Peace be with you. This is a good Christian greeting that he has learned in our home. Children, every morning and every time we meet, the children always greet us. Pa Ping An. To Mommy Ping An. I say that is a good Christian greeting. Thank you for your prayers and deep loving and godly concern for me. When I read the Proverbs and the Psalms, how bitterly have I wept. Now this is something from his heart. You can't cause a person to write this. Yeah. And he writes this and sends 12,000 miles for us to read. I honestly say that in no prior time to this has repentance been so thorough as it is now. And yet, dear friends, repentance was for a while and lapsed, and repentance again. How do you then sum up this whole kind of lifestyle of this person? Can you tell me? Can you explain? I say, dear friends, remember Romans 7. Paul the Apostle says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death, of this death? The things I know I should not do, I do." Who says it? Paul. The things I should do, I don't do. The sins I know I should not commit, I commit. It is what he's saying here. All right. There are still moments when doubt troubles me, but after a confession of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I commit all my life to the Lord. My prayer for you all are at least twice a day, morning and night, for the blessings of God, for health and strength, as well as an encouraging fellowship with other believers wherever you go. Now, it is a long letter, but here it is from one who is cast into society with a schizoaffective condition, with the basis and the foundation of the Word of God in him deeply, at the same time the lure and temptations of the world, all these things coming together. He could not cope. Now, dear friends, in 1999, when we started the church, we said, "Stephen, would you like to serve the Lord in Vancouver BB Church?" "Oh, yes, of course. It is in this book. The letter is there." He says, "This is the opportunity for me, but before I come, let me return to Singapore and let me attend the FEBC, and there let the Lord straighten me before I come to Vancouver." So he came. He was there for a few months until the time came, he came to Vancouver and he served there. But Vancouver is not easy because he is not a citizen. He is not a PR. And so there are problems in the church with his immigration status. And when a person is faced with these and other problems with his schizoaffective condition, the disjunction, the fragmentation of his personality is a problem. Look at your notes, please. I've given out those notes for you. The last goodbye is on page 6. All right. Page 6. That was the last time we met and parted at Vancouver Airport. And having checked in, of course, we always have our goodbye prayers together. And for the next month, after we arrived, we had a most wonderful prayer fellowship over the telephone. 3.5 calls per day for 1 month. He'll call me, I'll call him, and then we'll spend 10, 20, 30 minutes on the telephone. We were reading through the Bible in a year, according to your year planner. And he was following that. So together we would read over the telephone. Our fellowship for the next 32 days, over 100 meetings on the telephone, this is page 7 on top, an average of 3.5 calls per day. I mention this to impress on you that Stephen was in a state of great spiritual encouragement to himself and to me. And together we will read through, he will read, I will read, and we will pray. Our prayer fellowship, Para 2, assumed a certain format. First, we prayed for Holy Spirit illumination. Then, we read a verse each. We covered the last 8 chapters of Acts and the book of Romans. Then we pray. At times, we will sing. But every time, he will play on the piano. Now, how does that happen? He put down the telephone on the piano and he'll play. Some classical pieces, he knows I like them, but always with some hymns, right? So in that way, we were sort of making up for lost time. Part of the problem is when I first returned, working in KK Hospital as head of department, I went on night duty 7 days per time. For 7 days, you take all the calls day and night. For a time, I was the only specialist for the whole hospital, for the whole department of the university. Today, I check on them. How many do you have? Oh, 15 or 20. And doing a fraction of the work we did. So you can imagine, now what am I trying to say? The family hardly saw me. And so for Stephen, stranger status remained. Father doesn't know son, and son is afraid of father, so that is it. So this was a make-up, catching up for lost time. And every time he will end up with playing some hymns, whatever it is, and then with a prayer, and we will ring off 3.5 times per day. That is intense fellowship, isn't it? Well, as I said, it is making up for lost time. One day I asked him, Stephen, what is your favorite scripture? Now, we read it just now. Elder Boone asked me, is it Psalm 103 or 130? Here it is on page 8. Ask Stephen, what is your favorite psalm? Favorite scripture? Of all the scriptures, what impresses you most? Quick as a shot, he came back. Psalm 103. Especially when it says, As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And so this psalm, he says, he reads frequently to encourage himself. So we went through that month. Now come to the last day. It is almost to the day. It's another Saturday. You remember the song was August 17th, Saturday, 1996. Almost exactly 4 years later to the day is the day of his passing. Page 9, Saturday, 19th August, 8 a.m. That was our last prayer fellowship. For him, it was 5 p.m. Now, this is very memorable because that was the last time. And we had our usual prayer fellowship. And he played two hymns. The one first hymn is "When This Passing World Is Done," is the concluding song tonight on the back of your program sheet. This song we discovered in Vancouver, so it is rather precious to us. "When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe." This verse had special appeal to a sinner like Stephen. He realized it. He confessed it. Living in that kind of situation in a free country, you name it, he did it. But then, this verse says, "When I stand before the throne, does God save a sinner like him?" Let me ask you a question. On the cross, to the second thief, did God save him? With all his sins, the whole life of sin, now hanging on the cross, how can God save him? Answer: God's salvation grace is greater than all our sins. If you do not believe, I give you one verse. Hebrews chapter 11. And that will help us. Anyone here who is fallen into sin, look to the Savior and confess your sin and repent, and let him save you out of your sin. Hebrews 11 verses 31 and 32. Now Hebrews 11 is the great chapter of faith. The hall of faith, or the hall of fame for all those, the heroes of faith. We started off with Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and all the rest. Great eminent names of great patriarchs. Of course, they ought to be there. But when you come to verse 31 and 32, you say, "Oh, who are these people? They are also in the hall of fame for faith. Who are they? That God remembers them." The first one is a prostitute. Oh, my friend, God's grace. God's grace is unsearchable, but He is almighty and He is all merciful. And God so loves sinners, including prostitutes, that He saves them and put them into the hall of fame. Verse 31. "By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not." Verse 32. "And what shall I more say?" While the writer of this book says, "You are amazed, aren't you? So am I." Are you not amazed? That's why John Newton wrote the hymn, says, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." Someone who is sunk in sin, sinning against God day and night for years. How can he be saved? With man, impossible. Man will write him off. Yeah, you have no hope. With God, it is possible. So, John Newton turned around when God's grace hit him. And he says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Now look at verse 32. Here is the writer. He says, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon," well, with all his wives, right? Gideon. "Barak, Samson," wow, that debauched fellow. Everywhere he goes, he sees a woman, he goes for the woman. So how can he be saved? But he is here. My dear friends, the lesson here is God is able, but let us turn to God. Let us remember the Savior died on the cross for our sins, and that is efficacious. Sufficient for every sin. Only look to Him. Look to Him in faith. call upon Him, He will save. So, there you are. Now back to the story. Page 10 of Stephen's last goodbye. When this passing world is done, when I stand before the throne dressed in beauty not my own, what have I got? All I have is sin and sinfulness, and there is nothing to show, but God comes and put His righteousness on you and on me, dressed in beauty. Beauty of what? Beauty of holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, granted freely to every sinning, repentant sinner who comes to Him and says, Lord, please save me. That is it. When I see Thee as Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. This is Stephen's parting song, right? As it were, a kind of message. Look, this is for you, Father. Then the song we sang just now, The Great Physician. How wonderful. We have not sung this for a long time. I've never even thought about it, but he chose it and he played it. I said, how do you like it? I said, very much. Listen to the words. Your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to heaven. I'm sure he took that with much delight. Go on your way in peace to heaven and wear a crown with Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. In Him He found His home forever. Right? Having done that, he says, oh yes, and he played a song. That one is not a hymn, but it is a beautiful, beautiful song called Longing for Hope. It's not often known, but perhaps one day I'll make it known to you. Then he said, excuse me, I gotta go. Oh yes, Elder Koo Peng Kiat of Light Church has asked me for dinner. I gotta go. I said, well, God bless you, and you go and have dinner with him. He's a good man. So he went and had dinner. After dinner, they all went to prayer meeting, and after prayer meeting, he went home, and that is it. The end of the story. Dear friends, I dare say Stephen is in the better place. And the hope, one day we shall meet again. His story is for your encouragement and for my encouragement. Don't know that we in this sinful world do meet with disease, sickness, troubles, sins that overwhelm. So much so we can say, oh, wretched man that I am, I don't want to sin this thing, and yet it overcomes me. Until the day God releases you by death, God is able to save to the uttermost. When this passing world is done, let us arise to sing this. When this passing world is done, when has sung yon setting sun, when we stand before with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe.
When this passing world is done, when has sung yon setting sun, when we stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall we fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. In honor thus through a glass, darkly let thy glory pass. Mingling lift the sun so sweet, make thy spirit's health so meet. In honor, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe.
Now may the love of God the Father, the saving grace of Jesus Christ His Son, the wonderful working power of the Holy Spirit, our great Comforter, be with each one of us, now and until we see our Savior return in the clouds of heaven. Amen.